And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Man, covering down to some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border, what we call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, that's just the radio audience. All y'all streaming online, go out there in the world wide web, anywhere in the big wide world, and you can stream it. We catch a bunch of y'all watching on Facebook and Twitter and Rumble and YouTube and our website. So thank you very much. We love all of you. Thank you for this audience. Hey, last week you had a chance to get to know a friend of mine, somebody who I've known for a number of years. Scott Beeson is a former state legislator, served in the House and the Senate. He and I served together in the Alabama State Senate. He was actually the Rules Chairman, which is a significant leadership position in the caucus. And he and I had some experiences, but I want to take that and I want to frame it in the context of what just happened in Minnesota. Because what happened in Minnesota, I don't care what party they were. I mentioned earlier in the show during my monologue, the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution guarantees a sense of sovereignty and self-governance to the states. It's called federalism. And that means we will always have a state legislature. The vast majority in the nation are like Scott and I were, part-time, still doing our gigs in our communities, eating in the same restaurants, going to the same churches. And yet, these two were targeted. Well, Scott and I have had some experiences. Let me quit talking. I'll bring him on. Hey, Scott Beeson, host of Alabama Unfiltered down yonder in Montgomery, too. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Phil. How are y'all today?
I'm good, man. That's twice in 1 week we're talking here.
I know. It's crazy. After all these years, we're just talking all the time now. But, you know, it's good to have. I appreciate you letting me host your show last week. It was good to get to talk to the folks, and maybe I can do it again sometime when the phones are working. but it was fun, and I appreciate it.
Well, the phones are working because you're on them right now, so yay.
Okay, good. I didn't know if this was a special line or not.
Well, we did not set up a hotline just for you. You actually have the common line. But anyway, you're not a common dude.
I thought I had the trucker's line. What's the guy's name
called
last week?
Hey, let me ask you, man. I had some what I would call some evil experiences. I don't think near to the extent you did, but I had threatening notes show up in my mailbox without a stamp on them, meaning mm-hmm. somebody had to deliver them to my house. I had a guy storm into mm-hmm. my law firm one day and slap a written diatribe down on my desk and glare at me and scare my staff. And of course, there's always the usual lies about you on social media or in the media. Right. But you've had your own. I mean, brother, I remember one time, and you and I were talking, it may have been during the height of the illegal immigration bill that you were sponsoring. I actually was talking to you on the phone, and because of everything you've been going through, I remember suggesting to you, it may be time for some security.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that. I remember you calling because I actually contacted my local law enforcement and they were like, well, I mean, you're probably good around here. Yeah. So those were some interesting times. I had a guy call, was it a call or a message sent to my office that advocated that my wife should kill me in my sleep and the world will be a better place. I remember that one.
Wow.
The Alabama Bureau of Investigations talked to him.
Wow.
He was apparently way nicer when they were talking to him than he was when he was writing the note to me. It's been some interesting things. I had one time during illegal immigration, I had like 50 something people show up at my church in Gardendale on a Sunday morning to protest outside the building. And security comes in the building. We're in the worship service and they're like, hey, Scott, you need to come down here. Took me to a secure area in the building till they figured out what was going on. So, I mean, you know, there's been some interesting times. Like you said just a moment ago before, there's really no place for the stuff that seems like it's beginning to bubble up all over the country against elected officials, whether I vehemently disagree with them or not. This idea that violence is going to make things better for one side or the other, that's insanity. I don't know how we've gotten there.
Yeah, and I look at it too, and what's amazing to me is, and I don't want to say it's all on the left because the right has some bad days and some bad people, but I feel like the inciting to violence so often seems to come from what I would call the progressive left. You look at Steve Scalise being shot by a guy who was incited to violence by rhetoric. You know, you look at what we just saw up there in Minnesota, which I think we're going to find more and more. This guy was not like a conservative Republican. He was
I don't think there's going to be any way they find that out. There's plenty of odd things about that story, and you know, the press does as good a job as they possibly can, Phil, of if something happens, they're going to come right out of the gate, make some allegations, you know, with Phil or Scott or some Trump supporter, and then over the next week or so, you find out, no, it wasn't. But I'm with you. I think we're going to find out he is not on the right side conservatively in any fashion.
How many years were you in the legislature, man?
I did 8 in the House and 8 in the Senate.
Wow.
16 total.
16 yep. years. You know, I'll be honest with you. Yep. My wife, the lovely Charlene, says that political years should be measured like dog years. Therefore, you were in for about 75 years.
Yes. It's horrible. And I have no desire to go back. If somebody mentions, hey, do you want to run again? It starts giving me a nauseous feeling because I had all I could possibly stand.
Well, I don't think people realize, and I'm not asking for, this is not a sympathy vote. I'm not trying to draw out, you know, the sympathy, but I don't think people realize the level of, it ain't cheap. And they always think, oh, you're out of making money. Well, you get paid something, sure, because you give up a whole lot of your time. But it's not
right.
Like it's not like you have insurance. You don't have benefits. You don't have you're lucky if you can get your hotels paid for. And then
you don't have retirement.
There's no retirement, and it's a part time gig, meaning you're probably going to have to go home and work doing something else too.
Right. Work extra time doing the other things you're supposed to do, and that's one of the things I found over the years is. People confuse Congress, which is also not cheap, by the way, because Washington, D.C. is so expensive, but they confuse Congress with the legislature, and so they think you're getting whatever Congress gets. And, oh, you remember, one of the biggest things, I got more letters and contacts about whether or not I was going to vote to give China most favored, or was it most favored nation's trading status?
Yeah.
And which was not a vote we were ever going to make. But man, people were worked up. So it all kind of blurs together with people.
But I don't know about you, but I do feel like, and I've said this on my show multiple times, that a lot of what happens in our state capital can have more impact on the day-to-day life than what happens in D.C. What do you think?
No, I agree completely. And it's very, very difficult. We try to do, you know, as much as we possibly can about state issues. And a lot of people aren't really, you know, excited about them. But the legislature and the governor's office could really do so much. You know, my dream really is that, I'll put it this way. When we took over the legislature, you were incoming the year we took over the majority, and we did jam up stuff.
Yeah, we did.
For that first year, especially first couple, 2, 3, 4 years. And now it seems like, I don't know if I can tell the difference in the old legislature before we were in the majority and this new one, you know, a number of years after we were both out of the legislature, it seems like it just kind of goes back to some sort of weird, special interest driven medium, but a dynamic governor who was willing to lead and go out and tell the people, hey, this is where we need to, you know, be honest, a Ron DeSantis-esque kind of Alabama governor could literally change the lives of Alabamians for generations to come, from education to the job market to just standard of living in our cities. I mean, just unbelievable, but I don't know if we're going to see that.
I'm still hopeful. I am very hopeful. I am looking for. I keep calling it a God fearing gunslinger. That's what I want.
I understand exactly. Yes.
And at the same time, the legislature. To your point, I agree. I think they've gotten very comfortable. They've gotten, and I think part of that is because they didn't have the same fights that we had. They didn't have the teachers union breathing down their neck every day like we did. They didn't have they didn't have some of the I would call outright evil interests that were determined to destroy lives that they do now. And I don't know if that's they built in some measure of complacence or if they run out of good ideas to pursue. But the truth is,
or they've just decided to surrender and just go along with them, those groups again. Because I look at some of the things they do, and when we were in the minority, we fought tooth and nail to stop things that are now agenda items for the Republican caucus.
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay, it's bizarro world, but
yeah.
But let me go back to my point in the last couple of minutes we got here. I think the reality is though what happened in Minnesota. And some of the experiences that you and I had with people, literally, I mean, I had people that I went to church. I had people that I sat in Sunday school with that would leave church and go home and say the worst stuff about me on Facebook. I mean, it was just unreal. And then you look at it and go, okay, that's why people don't run for office. That's one of the things that it's not just because it's time consuming or because it's, you know, it's a great deal of effort. There's a lot of people out there with a lot of desire, a lot of heart, but they don't want to have to go through the crap. And now you watch two state legislators actually being assassinated. And it's just, we got to get a hold of the discourse, I guess.
Yeah. And it's funny. Of course, it looks like in society, a lot of Americans have just lost control of themselves in general. You see how some of them act at a restaurant. If the waitress brings them a Diet Coke instead of a Coke or vice versa, they can't seem to, I mean, you'd think that was the end of the world. So we are going through this lack of self-control in our culture. And I think that's part of what's elevating it, where 10 years ago, the guy might come in your office and just be super angry and chew you out. In 2025, he might come out, come to your office and try to punch you or worse. And I think it's just really, we don't control ourselves anymore.
Well, you and I do.
But we do our best, but we do. There's some days where I'm like, I might have to punch around the face.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate your 16 years. I didn't realize it was 16. I appreciate your 16 years of service, which, like I said, in dog years means you were in office for 75 years. But
I feel like I was in office for 75 years.
You got the gray hair to prove it.
Yes, sir.
But I appreciate you as always, brother. I'll talk to you again sometime soon. All right.
Hey, that sounds great. Y'all take care. See
all
you,
right,
Phil.
Bye bye. Yeah, he's a good dude. And listen, I'm not kidding. I think out of all of us, Scott Beeson may have faced some of the worst persecution during that era. I mean, they were putting up billboards about him. They were doxing him. They were protesting at his church on Sunday morning during services. It's to the point that all of us, everybody, and we're not unique. Every member of the legislature, Democrat and Republican, has their own stories. I think Senator Vivian Figures, who is a longtime Democrat down in the Pritchard Mobile area, actually had shots fired at her house recently. Or last year, that there's no room for that, no room at all. And so citizen legislators are going to be a thing. We're going to have them. They are existing because our state constitution says so, and because our U.S. Constitution gives us a 10th Amendment that says states shall have governance. Therefore, we need good people in those offices. Therefore, we need people who are A, not going to be put off by those who are put out, but B, we've got to get a hold of the discourse, because I don't care what party they are. What happened in Minnesota? Awful tragedy, and it needs to be brought to heel. I mean, like brought to heel hard, and get it under control. Have your opinions, don't act on them. All right, let's take a break. We'll take that break. Come right back. I got some text messages to catch up on, and then coming up top of the hour, we're bringing in former California State Senator Melissa Melendez. Give us an idea. What is happening out there in the Golden State? It ain't all gold, I'll tell you that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.